responsible for a lot more than what I reported. If you have any questions for me, feel free to come and see me after the meeting or come into my office any time you work with name. Thank you very much.
Michael Minchin. Our next minister to report is Tyler Edmonds, ordinary member for Portugal, and Minister of Finance, Human Resources, Information Technology. Minister William.
Good evening, everyone. It's really great to be here in Nain. This is the first time I've got to be a part of the Executive Council Open House here in Nain. I'll just quickly talk about some of the things that my department is responsible for. And again, if you have any questions for me after we're all done speaking here, then you can feel free to approach me. Also, my deputy minister is here this evening as well, Rexanne Crawford. So between the both of us, I'm sure that we can answer any questions. So as you're likely aware, we have been talking a bit about the budget act that we passed back in March. We've been talking with Oxalhattigit, and there's been news releases about the particulars of the budget. But we did earmark $98 million in spending for this fiscal year. The majority of that money comes through our fiscal financing agreement. In particular, there was 68.7 of that total 98 that comes from that agreement. We primarily negotiate that with the Government of Canada, and the purpose of those dollars is to ensure that we're offering appropriate services to our beneficiaries at levels that are comparable to other communities of similar size in Labrador. One of the biggest drivers of the budget is the Department of Health and Social Development. So, of course, they do a lot of programming and the non-insured health benefits and program. The DHSD has been slotted for $26 million in expenditures. We allocated $11.6 million for post-secondary education and secondary education. And as you're likely aware, we earmarked $12 million for housing. Of that total, $98 million, $29.3 comes from our own source revenues. So that's money that we generate ourselves as a government through things like tax agreements that we've struck with the feds. So the personal income tax that's generated within Nunatsiavut, we receive that as a government, and also the GST that's generated from the land claims area, that comes back to us as a government as well. We also generate interest, a number of investments. In terms of negotiations that the finance division is engaged in, where I mentioned the fiscal financing agreement, we're continually working with the feds to try to find additional monies for services for our beneficiaries. So we are engaged in that process. We're talking about the own source revenue capacity agreement and renewal of the implementation plan. So proposals have been submitted to the Government of Canada in relation to the programs and services that we take down from Health Canada and to the Government of Canada and Government of Newfoundland and Labrador for renewal of the OSR agreement and the implementation plan. We're expecting negotiations to continue on those pieces during this fiscal year. In December of 2017, we very happily learned that the Government of Canada lifted the own source revenue moratorium, brought on a moratorium rather on the own source revenue offsets for FFA. So it's in effect for 3 years starting in 2017. What that translated to is $1.2 million savings for our government for the last fiscal year and approximately $1.6 million savings for this upcoming fiscal year. Another part of our department is the Human Resources Division. So we have a very large responsibility as a government to ensure that we're hiring our beneficiaries. That's one of our biggest goals, to ensure that we're providing opportunities for our beneficiaries so that they can have meaningful work in our communities and they can be the ones that provide the services to our communities. We currently have 362 employees within the civil service. 300 of that 362 are beneficiaries. So that means we have a beneficiary hire rate of 83%. Of the 362, 259 are permanent positions, and 221 of those are beneficiaries. So of our total permanent employee workforce, 85% are beneficiaries of Nunatsiavut. Another division within our department is information technology. So as you're all likely aware, we've been working within the last couple of years alongside with the Alliance, Akoa, INAC, and the Mushuatnu First Nation, and the provincial government to upgrade the bandwidth across Nunatsiavut. The project was completed in February of this year, and you know, we've been seeing the benefits of that for a number of months now. We received an update from Bell Alliance at the end of December that there were 218 new activations. Obviously, the embargo on the new accounts was lifted. We are in the process of trying to work on another upgrade to the bandwidth. You know, that application, we haven't heard anything back on it at this point, anything formal, but it does look very positive. Those are basically the updates that I wanted to share with you all this evening. Again, any questions, just feel free to approach myself or Roxanne.
Mr. Tyler, from the Honor Ministers, we come to the newly elected ministers appointed to Executive Council. Rachel Saunders is the ordinary member for Hopedale and newly appointed Minister of Education, Economic Development.
So I want to say first that I'm very pleased to be here. As our president said, my name is Rachel Saunders. I'm ordinary member for Hopedale and also Minister of Education and Economic Development. So this is my first community meeting as a minister. So I've just got a few updates here for you. So I'm still in the middle of doing briefings in regards to my portfolio, so bear with me. I'm lucky enough to have my deputy minister here with me as well, so if I can't answer something, he most certainly can. So I would go to him first. So I've got a lot to learn, and I'm really looking forward to it. So first, on the education side, I will start with our PSSP, which is the Post-Secondary Student Support Program. Preparations have been ongoing since March to process new applicants for the 2018-19 academic year. We have received more than 120 new applications for the fall semester. Selections will take place in early June. We also have 61 full-time and 24 part-time students who have indicated they will be returning in the fall. The IBED program is in its final semester of in-class study. The 11 students in the program will be going out on their placements in September, and then they will be finished. We have recently started an evaluation of the LITP portion of the IBED program. This was a pilot of the language training program. The final modules of the program are being offered during the spring semester. We are working on a third 10-year graduate, which will feature all PSSP graduates from 2007 and 2008 to 2016 and 2017. We hope to have the book published before the end of the fall of this year. An environmental scan has been completed on the need for business training, and the results of this scan, as well as other possible program offerings, will be reviewed in the coming months with recommendations for next steps to follow. With Inuit Pathways, I am pleased to say we will be able to accept all of the students that applied to us, provided that their application were in before the deadline. The current programming for funding for Inuit Pathways will be replaced by a new program, and our staff is currently working with the other Inuit regions to structure the program. We will be getting an increase in funding, and the new agreement will be for a 10-year period rather than a 5 years as before. On the economic development side, our staff continue to work with businesses as they seek new opportunities. We held a business summit in Riglet earlier this year, and the second portion of that summit will be held in Goose Bay this fall. We will be providing support to Torngat Fish Producers Co-op to ensure the fish plant operates in Maine again this year. We are also hoping to access funds to do some research and a test fishery on scallops in the Maine area this summer. Finally, we will be doing a short course on making and mending nets for the charred fishermen here in Maine. So this will start as soon as the net webs arrive. So that's a little update on the education and economic development portfolio. If you have any questions, please feel free to come and see me, call me. I'm based out of Hopedale, so call me or send me an email.
Nakumik Rachel. Our next minister is our dear member for Upper Hickmanville, Gerald Asiba, also the newly appointed Minister of Health and Social Development. Manaroa Kikarjeo Upper Hickmanville, the Minister of
Thank you, President Johannes. Just a brief bio about myself. I'm from Happy Valley, Goose Bay, born and raised. It's a real honor to serve on the Executive Council, especially in this portfolio. My background is in social work for 9.5 years with Labrador Grenfell Health. I work with children, youth, family services, child protection, children in care. I did some administration social work, adults with disabilities, intellectual and physical, adult protection, and mental health as my last job before I finished in April. I've also had the opportunity to travel to Nanasiva. Nain is one of the communities that I used to visit for work regularly, and Hopedale. So it's good to be back, and in this capacity, working with the Executive Council, and I'll give you a brief update on my department. As Tyler said about the budget, my department employs 64% of our workforce. So we have the largest workforce of all government departments. As First Minister Kate mentioned earlier about the Nain prototype, there were 25 applications for the 6 available in the Nain prototype, 3 for youth and 3 for seniors. The successful applicants had been chosen, and the packages with leases were mailed on May 30th, 2018. The anticipated occupancy date is June 15, 2018. Inuit Child Welfare Review. The Office of the Child and Youth Advocate is leading a review of the Inuit Child Welfare and have contracted Dr. Ken Barter to lead the work. Liaison social workers Danielle Bakey and Darlene Jopp will be assisting as he travels to all Nunatsiavut communities. He will be meeting with biological parents, foster parents, children, youth, children and youth in care, those who have been through the system, elders, community agencies, and anyone who feels they have something to contribute. He'll be listening to concerns with the present services and systems and looking for suggestions or solutions to improve the services and system. Tuberculosis update. This is just a brief bio. Labrador-Grenfell Health will be here on Thursday for a community information session from 1 to 3 at the Jeremiah's Silic Community Center, so everyone's welcome to come and get more details, but here's a brief update. As of May 8th, there have been 14 confirmed cases, 2 probable cases, and 9 currently under investigation. Clients on treatment to date, as of May 23rd, 22 clients who have been direct observed therapy who have active TB. Number of clients on direct observed prophylaxis latent TB is 27, and number of clients on window prophylaxis is 18. Those are children 5 years or younger, listed as contact to an active client. Children's immune systems are not developed. 2 TB skin tests, both are negative within 8 weeks. They'll take them off, and then they're done their treatment. So as I said, Labrador-Grenfell Health and the Medical Officer of Health for the province will be here Thursday afternoon from 1 to 3. DHSD staff will also do a TV 101 session that morning. Mental wellness. We have filled the mental health coordinator position, Megan Edmonds, so we'd like to welcome her on board. We are currently recruiting to fill the youth coordinator position. We have a new sexual violence prevention counselor position located in Hopedale, traveling to the other communities as well. She's offering training related to healthy relationships, responding to sexual disclosures, and safe sexual sharing online. She is working on developing an information pamphlet for victims of sexual violence so they know their rights and options, and develop training for individuals who may be working with sexual offenders themselves. She is also doing direct work with individuals who have been sexually violent, including those referred for their probation conditions. The Youth Center in Nain continues to be a huge success. with around 30 to 40 youth aged 13 to 30 stopping by between 8:30 to 10 p.m. and around 48 youth aged 16 to 30 were sleeping there. We are consistently hearing about positive comments from the youth in attendance. The Murder of Missing Indigenous Women and Girls Inquiry held sessions in Happy Valley Goose Bay in March. Nunatsiavut government collaborated with the inquiry staff to ensure individuals, families, and communities were informed of the inquiry so that they could make decisions about whether or how they wish to participate. Many beneficiaries shared their stories and experiences of families and friends of women who were murdered or are missing, from women who were victims. The messages were very powerful and were well received by the commissioners. Nunatsiavut government helped to coordinate health supports for the two-day sessions. Funding has been approved to continue the Community Shed program in Nain, with expansion into Hopedale and Rigolet. Given the time of year, we are working to use the school wood shops until the boats are able to run. We are working hard to confirm spaces in Hopedale and Rigolet for the program. It has been a huge success in Nain from ages 10 and up, male and female. People are coming in to work on different projects and proudly bringing their completed items home. Food security. The food security coordinator, under the direction of the Director of Health Services in the DHSD, has begun work on the development of a Nunatsiavut food security strategy. They will use various types of community engagement and will be seeking input on the process during a stakeholder meeting to be held in March. Some pilot programs are getting off the ground in Nain, including a healthy lunch program, and we are working to acquire space to expand programs. A meeting is being held in Hopedale this week to discuss the implementation of a pilot program that can best be addressed for the needs of the community in Hopedale. We are continuing to work at a policy level to have input into improvements in the Nutrition North Canada Subsidy Program, the National Food Policy, as well as the National Poverty Reduction Strategy, as well as other provincial and federal food security-related policy areas. Tobacco control. The tobacco control strategy is to work to address the high rates of tobacco use in Nunatsiavut. Some key activities this year have included celebrating individuals who have quit or smoke-free, offering land-based and cultural programming to encourage alternative coping strategies, advertising and supporting ways of quitting from medications to counseling, furthering our multimedia campaign on information about smoking, including encouraging individuals not to start and support people to cut down or stop. There is work on the national level to develop strategies to reduce tobacco use throughout Canada. As part of this, an Inuit-specific strategy will be developed in partnership with ITK. Regional Health Plan. The current Regional Health Plan was developed for the years 2013 to 2018 and is nearing the end, so a process has begun to develop a new five-year plan. A consultant has been hired to lead this process. A large amount of work has been completed, environmental scan, consultation with staff, and etc. In the fall, communities will be engaged in the process with community focus groups to ensure that the priorities of the department align with those in the communities. We value any input as we work through this process. Communities will be given advance notice of the community visits so they can participate, but any written submissions would certainly be accepted as well. So that's a brief summary of the ongoing work within DHSD.
Our next speaker is our dear member for Nain and the newly appointed Minister of Land, Natural Resources, Anthony Anderson.
Thank you, Joanne. I am a little bit different than perhaps the other ministers. I'm new, but I've been here before. Old Jim Lyle calls me the recycled minister. I asked my deputy minister, Carl, that not so much that I wanted to prepare for an overview of my department, I wanted to prepare to answer the questions that was going to be asked of me tonight. It is spring harvest time, especially for char and geese, migratory birds. So I wanted to be more prepared for that than to give an overview. So I came a little bit unprepared, I guess. I didn't know that I was going to get outshined so badly by the other ministers, the excellent overview of their departments. Good that Carl is here. I would like to say that, as you already remember, welcome. And certainly, not only are you welcome at any time to come visit me here in this building for to get answers about my department, but I can help and assist you in getting answers from any department. That's what I enjoy as a minister, I suppose. But I wonder, Carl, if you'll help me, perhaps we could highlight a few things. So certainly, first and foremost, I should say, as I mentioned, like, we do get a lot of questions about the spring migratory bird hunt and harvesting levels. It's an ongoing thing, and the same with the char. A lot of questions about harvesting. Are we doing the right thing? Are we over-harvesting? And we want people to continue to enjoy a subsistence way of life. We believe that there is good management in place, and we certainly, you know, work with our friends at the Wildlife and Plant Management Board, and to seek advice from them as well, and to provide assistance to them where we can. Questions about caribou, again, there are a lot of questions about that, and we continue to work with our friends, the other members who share with us the interest in the George River caribou and the Corrigan Mountain caribou.
There's a next survey for George River caribou population survey will take place this July. That'll be done by the province and of Quebec and Newfoundland and Labrador, and they've asked for a representative from UPCARC, which is the Inhabitants Aboriginal Roundtable, to fill a seat to help them with that survey.
And that's something that I think Sarah Leo was here, she will know about from the time she spent with UPCARC, because UPCARC had asked, and I think it's finally to be asked by the province of Quebec and the province of Newfoundland to participate. And our representation from NG would come through UPCARC. Not to say that we'd actually have people on that plane, but it's possible. And it is good, and it's encouraging.
Hopefully we'll see good news on the caribou this year, but it remains to be seen after the survey.
Go on, girl.
Yeah, the commercial fishery, that's always a topic of debate this time of year. We had over 60 applicants this year for the commercial fishery quotas that we manage. And again, this year, we didn't receive any. We did get one increase in quota, and that's around Greenland halibut or turbot. Our percentage hasn't changed, but the overall quota went up, so which meant our overall quota went up. We still get 3.3% of that Canadian quota of turbot. Greenland halibut. Shrimp remains the same this year from previous years, which doubled last year. Actually, we had a double in that quota. And the snow crab remains the same. So we anticipate the crab will be the first on the water, and they'll start probably end of June, first part of July, hopefully, ice permitting. And there will be some shrimp fishers that will be going out probably around the same time if they don't fish crabs. So that's always a big discussion point with our fishers and our government, and we hope the price is really good, so hopefully our fishers will do well again this year. We always strive to get more quota, and we continue that discussion with Federal Department of Fisheries and Oceans to try to increase quotas wherever you can and take advantage of those opportunities.
And on Thursday afternoon, myself and Carl are going to meet with the new executive of the Torngat Fish Producers to talk about their operation and to be able to provide, I guess, information should anyone be interested in the community, what their hopes and dreams are for summer.
On caribou too, Tony, the minister, Jerry Byrne, provincial minister, has this spring scheduled two different times to meet with us, and they've canceled both times, but they still say they're going to reschedule, but we haven't got a rescheduled date yet. So that's always been a challenge to try to get them in a discussion with us. Our staff are actually meeting with Environment Canada staff this week around caribou to see where we can hopefully work together with the federal government to move those issues forward. It's always good to have the support from that, but it's challenging to actually have a discussion with the province here, so we'll continue to push for that meeting.
I want to talk a little bit about the research tools for the summer.
I don't know if any of you took part in the MAPI group community discussions that were held around our marine planning. We're planning quite a bit of research with both the federal government and our other partners. this summer. Talk about a couple different initiatives. One is they want to go out in our marine area and tag some different species of fish. That's Federal Fisheries and Oceans Initiative. And along with that, Memorial University and Oceans Tracking Network want to deploy some sonar, I guess, where they go into the ocean and travel for days and weeks, and they'll be able to pick up where the fish, and there's some seals out there. There's also fish tagged in other areas, to just try to get an idea where fish travel to get a better understanding of that. They are looking at also possibly tagging some char in the main area to go along with that research. Also on research, people, in, when we met this winter about Nain Bay char, main area char, they talked about wanting more research on char. That's what we heard. So the committee went back, and they're still not finalized, but they are looking at a char research program in Nain area to better understand what the health of that population is. So I talked to Todd actually this morning to get an update. They did have one more meeting last week. They need to have one more before they can finalize things. So that's with Fisheries and Oceans, Coronet Joint Fisheries Board, ourselves, are working on a research plan for Nain Area Char. So that discussion continues. People might certainly know now that the ice bridges are out for the Voisey's Bay project and the travel routes there. And that decision was made based on safety, not only the safety of people traveling, the safety of the people that are out there having to remove and install that facility. So it's the time of year, and certainly don't want to put people's safety in jeopardy. So they were removed, I think, Saturday.
Not for me, Carl, not for me, Anthony.